Wasn't it?
That was Miss Mina,
wow.
Wasn't it?
What an ear for farts you have.
Trudy, congratulations.
Name that Karen fart.
Karen in the tight pants.
That's one of my skills.
See how tight they are?
Tight dick skin.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Mm.
Give Trudy another fart, see if she can name it.
I know, I was thinking of... Maybe Trudy has an unusual skill we're not aware of. I was thinking of the one from...
Name.
The one from... Wait. Oh, yeah. I always know what that one is. Can you identify that fart?
Oh, can I hear it? Oh.
That fart's in two things, actually.
There's a fart and a scream, isn't it? Wait, one more time.
I'll give you a hint. I'm done with that fart, and you can. I'm done with that, and you can have it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm from Joe Dirt.
Done with that fart.
Hey, man, you done with that apple core?
Oh. I'm done with that fart. You want that?
See, out of context with that drop, I didn't really know what the fart sounded like.
Didn't they use that in The Animal, that Rob Schneider movie?
I think we did figure that out, which is ridiculous.
Someone else that had an ear for farts. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah.
Somebody picked
the same
out
fart in two movies.
Yeah.
It must be on some Hollywood fart sound effect CD.
Adam Sandler owns.
Adam Addison. How about this one, Trudy?
Okay. Of course.
Trudy's insulted.
The inimitable. Yes. His farts were musical.
What a great way to get into the Scott Kunith sponsorship. Call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunith of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual to see what your home is worth or if you need help in finding your new one. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746.
Scott!
Or S. Kunith at CBWM. And Scott, by the way, if maybe you're not looking for a home, but you want to refer someone to him, he's doing a great job for all the people we've sent him so far. Everybody seems very happy. He's a very amiable guy. And when you spend time looking for a home, I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You don't want to spend time with a bummer.
Yeah. Right.
You can share drops. You can talk in drops and talk about the show. You have a common bond with Scott Kunith.
It's nice going out with somebody who knows the language.
It
of
is.
The show.
No, it's true. All our advertisers listen to the show. It's funny. They always talk about how, you know, yeah, we get recommendations over here, and they talk in drops, and and fortunately, our advertisers have come through for virtually everyone. So it's been all good, and we want to keep it good for Scott Kunith. And the best of Drew and Mike for today. I see we have a large...
Wait a second. I hope this is the right scene. This might be.
Just to match the fart up.
Oh, it's not the same one.
Oh,
that's in something else, though, isn't it?
An echoey.
I didn't know anybody was in here.
Question mark.
That fart is in the movie with Eddie Griffin.
There's a long line of ladies.
Oh, you're right.
Prostitute.
Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah, that fart.
Hummingbird Holmes.
That's funny. I recognized that fart right away.
Wait, Deuce Bigelow? Is he also in that?
Yeah, that's both Rob Schneider's.
So Rob Schneider has a farts fart CD.
I wish that was like really his fart and he just decided to put it in all the movies, but we know he's not funny. He's a very kind of a dick. So there's no way he would do that.
Just prior to that, his facial acting was just off the charts.
Phenomenal, yeah.
By the way, I was weirded out by finding out that Elle King was his daughter.
I know.
I wanted to dislike her, but she seemed cool. She was on Catfish.
About right.
She was filling in for Max on Catfish. And she seemed nice.
No one can replace Max.
He's opening again. Oh, Papa, that wasn't me.
Is this the fart from Deuce Bigelow, Brandon?
I think. That's the problem. Let's lift the trophy case open again.
Oh, Papa, that wasn't me.
Dosey.
This is it. It's coming up. I guarantee it.
I got a fart.
You're going to hear the same fart.
I got a fart.
Eddie Griffin.
Hold it.
Well, that's a different one.
That's not it. Oh, my God.
I know we've heard it somewhere.
Is there another one coming?
The building is squeaking.
It's a bird.
You idiot!
Wow.
Why do they fall? Because there's a big fart?
Well, the pressure.
Ridiculous.
So stupid. All right, carry on.
Maz is part of the best of today. Maz stuck at the airport and... the only note I have is not terribly resourceful.
I think
damn it.
I think he was grilled.
I think I know what happened there. And then my 600-pound life, which makes it into the show at least once a year.
Yeah, this was the guy who also went to rehab at the same time. Lovely guy.
What was the rehab for?
I think painkillers. He was a total guy.
A total asshole. He was a drag. He definitely...
You're going into a rehab. That's
what makes that show good. It's not laughing at the fat people, because a lot of times they just have...
Well,
they're beyond help at that point, but so many of them are such fucking assholes about it.
No, they're control freaks because they had to get people to do shit for them so they can continue just eating, just voracious amounts of food all day long. Remember the one we were watching where the woman had a grill on her bed?
Yes.
that was the original season of Family by the Ton.
Yeah.
Oh, was that what that was?
Yes.
That salad looked so good. All of us were starving by the end of the scene. We're watching a 650-pound person put a giant salad together, and what does she do? She makes us hungry.
See?
Wasn't it a giant taco salad?
It was.
Yeah.
It was excellent, though. She had everything on it. All the accoutrements were brought out to her and the grill.
Yeah.
I thought she cooked it beautifully. She knew what she wanted.
That reminds me, somebody sent me this clip from it. I guess there's a new show on TLC called My Big Fat Fabulous Life.
Buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Can you come here?
Yeah, what's up?
Whitney's in the shower.
I need your help.
This is her roommate.
You decent?
No, I need your help. I just hurt
decent?
My back.
What'd you do?
I just, wrenched my back. I should get my shampoo.
So do you need your shampoo still?
No, I just need to get out of here.
She
you rinse off? You look like you're still soapy.
No, I need to get out. My back hurts really bad.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
So I bent over to get it, and I felt a pain that I haven't felt in my back since the first time I heard it.
Is it lower?
The whole
what
lower
a great
back
roommate.
Is in pain.
Is she nude?
And the thought of getting from inside the tub to my
a comfort
bedroom
towel?
Is impossible.
Yeah.
Who
I'm glad I was there. I mean, if I went there, who knows? She might have just laid there for a few more hours.
Step on these rugs and stuff.
I like that guy.
You going over to your bed or what?
Yeah.
Or what? Oh, her tits hanging out.
It's moments like these that I'm really glad that I have a roommate, because if Buddy were not in the house, I don't know what I would do.
You all right? You know,
he's trying not to look at
I
her, but
Buddy
help her at
is
the same
probably
time. Oh, there's her butt.
Not
is there any reason to look at her
in this moment? Because
no.
I
she's got a green blob on her
towel around my body.
Oh my God,
Kaylin
from Teen Mom has so many green blobs.
Is she talking about on her podcast?
No, it's just. I mean, you just couldn't. There was just nothing to see but green blobs. Have you seen her, Brandon?
I haven't seen her nude.
Well, she was wearing a sleeveless shirt, and there were just giant. All I saw were giant green blobs all over her arms.
Wow. Attractive.
She's laying in a Craftmatic adjustable bed now.
Okay. Has your back been hurt lately? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, it's don't act like you care, buddy.
Like on the left side.
Hey, about eight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The last time I hurt my back, I was incapacitated for a couple weeks.
Oh. Really?
Medically speaking, for your height, your weight puts you in what we call the disgusting range.
My weight? I doubt that my lower back would have problems if I wasn't this fat.
Do you have anything from last year laying around, like any muscle medicine or?
There's some rub stuff. Can you rub something?
Oh, don't do it, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good. He's good with it.
I can't say that I mind being naked in front of Buddy, but
a big
but
one.
Does
he mind?
This instance, you feel vulnerable because you're hurt, and
I'm
so
in between
I do
sizes.
Feel weird in this instance, being naked in front of Buddy.
Yeah, but you wanted him to rub something on you.
Is this a TV?
It's also, isn't it also kind of weird that
loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix?
It's also weird that there's nothing sexual about it. I mean, he doesn't seem remotely adrenalized by her nudity.
No, God.
Not to mention, a lot of these people are nude and you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Her boobs were pretty... They were still,
Oh, really?
Well, she meets his girlfriend,
holding
too.
Did they...
A big one.
Just blur out the nipples?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't seem to be hanging down, though, necessarily.
Well, that's a start.
Good shape.
His girlfriend's bigger.
What's it? Her roommates are bigger?
Yeah, her room buddy, his girlfriend.
Show me them big old titties. Come on.
Is she part of the Fat Fabulous program?
It doesn't look like it.
No?
Well, only when Whitney met her.
It's getting awkward.
Can I see her?
Yeah.
I feel awkward as hell in this situation. I mean, obviously, Heather's part of it, but, it feels like I'm expected to have this, instant intimacy with her because, Buddy thinks she's so wonderful, but really I'm just hi, you're a stranger.
Oh, be like, nice to her. It's your roommate's girlfriend.
I don't know.
I got to help you out of the shower.
Over
yeah,
it.
She's been
nude around. Good Lord. Lots.
Oh, I had him backwards. They're all the same size.
I just want to shrivel up into my skin and disappear.
Yeah, right.
Babe.
Aww. Oh boy.
Babe.
Look at that. Love her fly.
I think I got to say this. I prefer my 600-pound life.
Yeah, by
there's
far,
not enough focusing on the largesse. I mean, the guy with the comfort towel playing Fortnite with nothing on because clothes aren't comfortable, that's really hard to top.
Bathing in a trough.
Yeah, the giant trough on the porch.
80 gallons of water.
With Dad drinking a beer watching.
Oh, man.
You know, that was weird.
That was...
And he ordered 8 things for lunch, and Dad's order was missing, so he just gave him some fries. Just give up one of your fucking sandwiches.
You know, Dad runs around picking up carryout for his 770-pound kid, wow. Not to mention
fried
the trough.
Potatoes.
I mean, didn't they have a hose just filling that giant trough up?
Oh, yeah.
No, because they were filling it with warm water, so they were.
Oh, that's right. He was heating water up and bringing it in, wasn't he?
Yep, and they were dumping it bucket by bucket until all 80 gallons were in that damn thing.
Guess what, though? Casey's been working out.
Personal trainer for the first time in my life. This is the first time I've been to the gym in a long time.
Wait, is that the guy?
Yeah, it's
I
Casey.
I am a little bit nervous.
Of course, he's going with Dad.
I don't think that's a terrible feeling. It's just like, I don't want to die.
Oh, now you're worried about dying?
Crazy, right? I mean, yeah, lose 100 pounds, you still weigh 670.
Doing great. So what brought you here? Eating better.
So what's your diet like?
They want me to eat more meals a day, but like less food.
Less food, smaller
meals.
That's
really what the hardest thing is because like my mind still tells me I can eat like plates and plates of things. And I eat so much I get full. And then like when I'm supposed to eat later, I just don't feel like it.
So like how do you feel about your body?
I mean, I'm fat, so I feel tired already, but I mean, I'm okay. I have a little more energy than a person my size probably should.
Okay.
But I do swim more occasionally. Like, this will be my first day here, but I swam Monday and Wednesday.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm doing more. I'm trying to even make sure I'm eating right.
Sounds to me like you're ready to work.
Pretty much.
He's
pretty
full of excuses.
It's definitely my first time working with somebody like Casey. I mean, you can't really judge a book by its cover.
So like, I ain't saying you know a lot about him.
Whatever energy he has.
You get the basic plot.
You're gonna do arm rotations.
Okay. 15
so ooh, arm rotation.
All right, gotcha.
Good. Now we go back the opposite way.
All right.
Well, this
Casey
is gonna win
his own
him.
Body weight, so he can establish a correlation.
I mean, check out these traps.
What he's accomplished already, and what he can expect himself to do.
I just have a feeling he's gonna quit on the workout.
That's nice. Why I always think it's good to do a really light workout when you start, so you don't quit right away.
Yeah, true.
Let's jump ahead and see if he quits.
Ooh, like fat awesome. Albert.
Oh, take it down here. I'll take the weight.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Is he benching?
Carry that? No, he was just carrying a plate. You know, like a weight.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Those clothes look restricting. I mean, how can he work out? His clothes restrict him.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Just one more.
Can't he work out with a comfort towel?
Swimming and doing this stuff is completely different because should make it as easy. You don't feel your own way. You're just moving like a motion, like a weightless body.
How do you
find
a comfort towel big enough?
All right, I'm good.
You sew them together.
You can run and walk for hours and not really feel as much, but in here it's like
big slams, Casey. Big slams.
The littlest motion, and you start to feel and stuff. It's a lot different.
Not sure I understand that philosophy.
Yeah, give him credit.
But yeah, no, I'm glad he's working out. Right?
Good for him.
Anybody
he's
should be
hot.
Encouraged. Yeah, he's getting hotter.
What if he
is getting hotter.
Really hot.
Okay, the first time we found out about the Fire Festival, which I'm kind of curious to hear that because I don't even know how we reacted. Well, the Fire Festival disaster or the Fire Festival?
The
being
disaster.
Thrown?
We were coming off of vacation.
Oh. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Billy.
And then BG's special review. Is Maz involved in that?
No, Trudy was here. Trudy, okay. You were very excited about the Bee Gees review, too.
I think I was more appalled.
I think, okay, appalled might be the right word.
Maz,
now, there was a fourth Gibb brother, Andy Gibb, who had a solo singing career. He died of heart failure at the age of 30.
No, he died of a broken heart, as Maz puts it. Victoria Principal murdered Andy Gibb.
Oh, really?
That's what Maz believes. But the truth was, he had a huge cocaine problem. Huge. And he has, by the way...
That didn't do anything to him, though.
I think he had might be the first solo artist to have his first 3 songs go number one,
really?
And they're all horrible.
Really?
Every one of them is terrible, like Love is Thicker Than Water. Remember that POS song?
Yeah. Why, though? Why did they go number one?
Because he was Andy Gibb, and the Bee Gees were hot. Remember how hot they were, Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I mean, Staying Alive, yep, Night Fever.
I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Oh, yeah, horrible.
Thicker Than Water.
Horrible.
Shadow Dancing.
Shadow Dancing.
Horrible. Probably the worst of the three.
So the record reps really hyped it hard, got it to number one position.
Yeah, he was a Gibb brother.
All the power of it.
But he couldn't cut the Bee Gees. But he was hot and he was young, so you know, my youngest brother.
You know who might know the answer as to why these are so huge? It would probably be Alan Allman's producer.
Probably.
Who we'll never talk to.
I Think How Deep Is Your Love was big on Pillow Talk, if I had to guess.
Okay, yeah.
Shadow Dancing's way too upbeat for Pillow Talk.
Yeah, that would not fly on Pillow Talk. No way.
So he didn't play any instruments, he just sang.
I don't remember him playing anything. I just remember these songs being on the radio and just being horrified. And they were huge hits. It's like, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, the Bee Gees special review. And then we wrap it up with the one-star reviews of hotels.
Continents and hotels.
Continents and hotels?
Some continents, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you, there's one review of a hotel, and you have a very interesting idea how you would deal with something.
Someone else sent us some one-star reviews. I got to find them. They're an email. Doggone it. I forgot about that. They were funny, too. I'm trying to remember what it was. I'll find them. Because we haven't done one-star reviews in a while. I think they're an important part of the show. As is our sponsor, Scott Kunath. Whether you're selling your home or buying your first home, it should not be stressful. Scott has 26 years of sales before he became the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manuel. Can you play a little bit of his jingle? This was played when he won the Rising Star Award. Yeah. It's a big deal. This is
Let me tell you about Scott Kunath. He's a guy you want to be with. No, not without. When you're looking to sell a house, same goes if you're buying. Don't even start trying if Scott's not in your corner. Don't say that I didn't warn ya. He knows real estate so well. He could write the manual. He works for Coldwell Banker. We're Manuel. Scott Kunath is absolutely essential if you're buying or you're selling residential. Scott Kunath. Call him 248-797-7746. You're just the person he'd love to get an email from. SKUNNATH at CBWM.com. Scott Kunath.
Man, I hope this works out for Scott. Scott! When we started out, I remember we were going over the various industries that you should have someone in.
Yeah.
And realtor was one, because, you know, there's people spending huge money advertising real estate. So we got somebody who was just getting established, and if we can be part of that, who knows?
Maybe we can be a rising star with him.
Yeah. He won. It was like 400 realtors there, and they heard that beautiful song. I guess he got it was a really nice award for him. I was happy for him.
Yeah.
His pledge to you, call you back in a timely manner. If you prefer to text, he's fine with that. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying or selling process. If he does know the answer, he'll get it. His word is his guarantee. Call, text, or email Scott Kunath with Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual, to see what your home is worth or for help in finding your new one, 248-797-7746, 248-797-7746, or S. Kunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H, at CBWM. And on with the best of the Drew and Mike Show. There's a lovely story about a 750-pound guy.
Oh, God.
Who went through rehab for painkiller abuse. And they're talking about how he lost 73 pounds. And he was on My 600-Pound Life. Have you seen that show?
No, I have not seen that.
It's must watch.
It is?
It really is. It can be gross.
Yeah. So how many, is there a different person each episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you watch one recently?
There's a lot of 600-pound people.
Wow.
Here's a lovely picture of him, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's funny how 600-pound people can be nude because
you're not gonna see anything.
Their genitals will always be covered by fat.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you'll see them nude on the show a lot of times.
And
I'll give you another great shot of him.
Thanks.
What's this dude's name?
Let's see. His name is...
Is it Doug?
Stephen Asante from Warwick, Rhode Island. A-S-S-A-N-T-I.
And he was on My 600-Pound Life?
Yeah.
And he lost how many pounds?
73, not that much. There's a nice picture of his leg when he knocked the golf cart over by sitting on it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Put him on a golf cart.
Oh, I know. That's a bad idea. He was sitting on the back.
Still.
He tipped it.
Get a tipped it over.
I just can't imagine when he can't when walk, you, right?
When your,
on
leg,
his own.
When your leg got a little bit deformed, it seems like you go, oh, God, I got to lose some weight. But then it gets to that level. I mean, it's, it doesn't even look like a leg.
I know. Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Oh, there's. Oh, I forgot this picture.
I thought that was somebody's butt.
He's 800 pounds. Do you know his brother's 600 pounds?
Yep.
Oh, what wow.
What is that? It's a good question.
Is that a testicle?
Testicle sack?
Testicle front and center?
I don't know what it is.
Not a scrotum, but a testicle sack.
I don't know
sack,
what it is.
Like
shaped like a penis.
What is that?
It's, his fat is shaped like a giant penis jutting out in front. It's just fat. I don't know. Maybe there's a tumor in there or something.
Oh, a tumor.
But these people are so fat, it looks like they've got three butts.
Yeah.
Because there's giant cracks all over where their fat right. comes together.
Yeah. Oof. Jesus.
Nice legs.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Here's the intro to their episode.
Stephen was getting the help he needed at
there's
got to
be some great
hospital,
video of him.
But after Stephen violated his care plan by ordering pizza, Stephen said the hospital told him he could no longer stay.
Oh, that's a mean
Stephen's
way to kick someone out.
Taking his son home will be a death sentence. So the two men say they'll continue to
what
drive.
What body part is that? Anyone know?
Find a place that can help.
I would not have
I
known.
I just don't know where to turn to. I called everybody. Everybody you can think of in the state of Rhode Island, and nobody can help me.
Richard Simmons.
Stephen Asante is being transported to my care in Houston right now, and I'm not sure what to expect.
Oh, this guy with the gold stethoscope. Remember him, Jay?
He suffers from
he was on the testicle sack edition.
Issues
yeah.
that make
yeah.
it problematic to treat him. So he's going to be a unique case.
What's that guy gonna do?
This looks really yummy.
Is something wrong with him mentally?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Nice tits.
Wow, that was weird.
His brother
he took a giant pie and rubbed it all over himself.
Pounds, oh
and he's also coming with him.
They don't say anything.
So it sounds like a perfect storm of dysfunction is coming.
Yeah,
and
it
he
is.
May be facing the hardest
challenge.
He had
1,400 pounds of Asante brothers.
Wow, that is harsh.
Oh, here's my man.
33 years old, 700 pounds plus. What I don't understand
yeah,
is
when's
how
the
somebody,
Chrissy Metz episode?
How does someone get this obese? That's what I don't get. They said he ate like 7 pizzas a day or something.
Oh, what's on his leg?
I don't know.
That's that thing.
I'm at Kent Hospital right now. I was living in my dad's truck for approximately a week.
See, I was nude there. All the time, but I never see anything. It's never
a previous hospital.
People just
for
act like it's
a
normal.
Pizza.
Why was he living in his dad's truck?
And now this hospital is asking me to leave
because
they
man.
Can't help people my size because I'm too mobile.
Oh, they're wiping his ass.
But
God Kent almighty.
The hospital has been trying to make the arrangements for transport for me to go out of state to Houston and
oh
see
my
Dr.
God.
Nazarden.
This guy's like six
no
Mandy Moores.
He doesn't take me anymore, so he's my last hope.
Those ladies did but not think they were going to be doing this when they went to nursing school.
Nope.
It's frustrating. Because no one can handle my weight.
Oh, this
see,
sucks.
There's no sexuality to him whatsoever. He's nude, and there's just all kinds of people in the room, and nobody's...
Sometimes I get frustrated.
Oh!
Oh!
And I get
he lifted up
crazy upset.
A layer.
So oh. I have so moments where
my
I
God.
Yell a little bit, or I'll just have trouble controlling my attitude.
You shouldn't have an attitude.
Hello, are you my nurse? I am on a bedpan. I don't like that I don't like a... You... You wanna hang up? You
suck! Well, not as a huge, but he's no! an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm on the bed pair for a half an hour. I got piss all over my
well,
bed.
Well, you know what? Don't weigh 800 pounds.
Yeah, lose about 400 pounds,
I need
fat
help.
Fuck.
I'll call the cops.
Call the cops.
Me, broad. Do not.
Broad.
Mr. Santi, I can't help you if you're hollering at me. I just came in at 7.
I have been on this thing for half an hour. Hearing people a half an hour. So if you're not in here, 5 minutes, the police will be called.
But can you get to the
because I got proof, mother.
A 700-pound dick.
So hopefully if I meet Dr. Nazar,
she comes in 6 minutes later.
Yeah, she should have. What an asshole. Just when I was starting to feel somewhat sorry for him.
He was also detoxing off painkillers. Can you imagine how many painkillers this guy took to get high?
At that weight?
Yeah.
This is a house where Steven used to live in.
Wait, was he huge when he got on painkillers?
I think so.
It's the doctor that gave him all the painkillers.
Oh.
I mean.
Here's the bathroom that I had.
He's not fitting down that hallway, Dad.
Where he broke this, being so heavy that all his weight cracked this whole piece right off.
Oh, my God.
And then,
poor Dad.
When he
used the bathroom, he leaned up against this, and somehow, some way, this cracked. So I'm surprised he didn't break this. Wow. He broke this pot. Here, I'll show you the bedroom that he spent 24/7
No, thanks. No, thanks. I don't want to smell that.
Yeah, boy.
This is basically all his stuffy animals and...
Wait.
His TV, his videos.
He's in his 30s and he has a stuffed animal collection?
Apparently.
Like a regular normal person would. So this is the room he would eat in, use his urinals to go to the bathroom.
Gross.
The only time he went to the regular bathrooms when he had to go number two.
Use his urinals.
He used to eat in this room constantly.
And he was sneaking
pizza.
Well,
who brought him the fucking food?
And hiding the evidence.
One day I happened to open up that closet.
Oh.
And I see 10 piles of empty pizza boxes in here where he tried to hide them from me.
Well, somehow he got the energy to get
somebody
up.
Somebody brought them to him.
I don't
want to
see that ever again.
No, yeah, but he had the energy to get up and hide them in the closet.
Oh, all right. Well, what are you going to get me to eat now? I said, are you serious, dude? I said, how do I know you just didn't have a pizza today? And you want something to eat again?
But he wanted his way.
He used to threaten me and say, look, if
he
I don't
can't
eat,
get up.
I'm going to call the police on you.
Call the police.
I'll tell you, hit
what
me.
An empty
that's,
threat.
It's been his big threat. It's his go-to threat.
He knows how to bull people. So he would always try to get everyone to do what he wants.
Well, fuck him.
But now he
can't do anything. He can't get up. Was he going to chase you?
So it's just me and my other son, Steven's younger brother, Justin.
600 pounds.
Oh, my God.
But every day that passes,
he looks great compared to his brother.
Like
hey, actually, he does.
He's gaining just like his brother did and is already over 600 pounds. And I am worried.
Dad,
he's going
I think it's time to do something.
The same way Steven is now.
I don't think your house is being run properly.
No.
Call me crazy.
Ugh.
Man.
Justin Asante, 27 years old, 604 pounds.
When was the last time they took that boat out?
Wow, look at that 600 pound guy.
Since
he's mobile.
Steven left about 4 months ago. Things have been better here.
Hey, I got all the food to myself.
I don't really like him much because we just don't get along.
This dog is a normal weight.
He's a big boy that
I know,
just
it's kind of weird.
Oh, my God. The brother is a dick to his younger brother?
Which is mostly play games because I don't go out.
Oh, see, now I feel sorry for this guy.
I probably want him to bring him food.
Do nothing but have fun. Just playing Monopoly or video games.
Yeah, sweet.
So I'm happy with how things are, except for my weight. I know I'm gaining a lot, and I am getting worried that I'm going to end up like Steven.
Then why don't you fucking lose some weight?
I don't want that to happen to me.
Imagine how much weight you have to eat to gain weight when you already weigh 604.
All I do is day by day. I don't really set big
pizza
goals.
Was
I just take what life throws at me.
Kind of their downfall.
Yeah, pizza was not pizza was not helpful. His family.
You think
protein.
You think Justin went in and stole all Steve's stuffed animals, Mark?
Probably. Nah, he really hates his brother, though.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Steven, that's the first one or the second one?
First one.
Yeah, he ate 6 pizzas a day.
Ugh.
6 complete full pizzas a day.
Wow. I want to see that. I want to see him do that. That's kind of amazing.
It's just bread.
Oh, God damn.
What is that?
That's Steven.
What's that black stuff?
That's part of Steven.
What? What is it?
Here, let me back it up so we can be grossed out again.
I want him to stay out of our home.
Yeah, I do too.
Because
I would have thought that was a monster.
Really young, we just never
would have shot it.
You'd have to shoot it in the same place 100 times.
I know.
Steven just made it a lot rougher.
No!
I just wish I could press rewind at the young Steven and
And
again, he's nude. What's he waist down, and you can't see anything.
He's got some kind of garment on.
Is this?
What is it?
I don't know what that is.
Was it supposed to be underwear?
I don't think it ever had a chance of being underwear.
Wow.
I'm really confused. Matt's supposed to call, by the way. When's he calling?
He said he can try to call in. He's like, how much longer are you guys going to be on? So he said he's going to try to call in.
Not much.
Oh, there he is. He's calling right now.
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, buddy.
Maz.
Maz.
Maz, what's going on? Hi, Trudy.
Hi, Maz. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Tom.
You got a tan,
Hey,
Tom?
Mark. Hey, Drew. Yeah, we're just extending the vacation, it looks like.
Wait, why can't you get to Detroit from Orlando?
No, we're in
or
Tampa
Cleveland?
Right now.
You're in Tampa.
We're in Tampa. We drove to Cleveland to come to Tampa.
Right, so you got to get to Cleveland.
We got to get to Cleveland. So when we got to our gate, they said, all right, two-hour delay. Well, I'm like, all right, fine, we're sitting down, we'll hang out for a couple hours. 20 minutes later, they said, bad news, folks. All our flights to Cleveland are canceled. Please go back to the gate and rebook your flight. People, it looked like wild animals running out of there. Hundreds of people.
Why would they have no flights to Cleveland until Monday? That seems preposterous. Nothing. Why?
What turns out is Cleveland Airport. It's a very small airport. So the last 2 days, including today, have been bad weather down south. So Spirit is a real down south type airline. And they are so backed up that they could not get any flights into Cleveland. And then they started canceling into Detroit ones.
So can't you rebook on another airline?
You can, but they have nothing to do with it. They'll say, if you want to book on another airline, we'll refund your money. Meanwhile, if you book with Spirit, you're paying like nothing out of pocket hardly.
Right.
So they want to pay your $100 back. Whatever the hell that you booked your flight with, and have nothing to do with you.
What's it
then
cost?
Then you got to go book with Delta and everything, and they want $300-$400 ahead, $500 ahead.
Oh, okay, so it's going to cost you. How many people you got? Five.
Five.
So it's going to cost $1,500 to get home. So
easy.
There's no flights anywhere in, like, no connecting flights into Cleveland.
No Spirit airline to Cleveland or Detroit today or tomorrow. So then I'm like, can you fly me to? What did I mention? I said, can you fly me to Chicago? I said, can you fly me to Newark? Can you fly me to Toledo?
Try Flint.
And yeah, Flint. They don't fly to Flint, but I mentioned it anyway. So before you know it, this was the best alternative. The earliest they could have got us out was like late tomorrow night. They would have flew us into somewhere near Ohio, and then we would have had to rent a car, drive to Cleveland, and try to get home that way.
Hmm.
Or we were lucky enough that we have a place to stay. So we decided to stay the extra couple days.
Oh, well, that helps make
now,
the decision easier.
I'll get on the phone in the next, I'll get on the phone in the next few hours to see if I can get us out earlier. But at least we have a place.
Yeah.
Are you going to try that hard? I mean, do you really want to leave now?
I am, because I'm missing opening day tomorrow. The girls are missing two dances tomorrow. We have softball all weekend.
Ooh, boy.
I got the Joe Louis Arena closing on Sunday. I'm missing all kinds of good stuff.
That's true. I know how much that arena means to you.
It does, and plus the Devils are there.
The Devils. Are the Devils going to be in postseason? Are you going to make the playoffs?
No, with the two last place teams are playing at the Joe.
At least you'll make the last game at the Palace.
Yeah, well, I'll miss that too. That's Monday night, right?
Well, you can, man. What time are you flying in Monday?
Yeah, we should be in by then.
That's funny. When two teams are playing the last game of the season, I always wonder, God, who goes to those games? Maz!
Yeah.
Hey, did you talk to Al tonight?
Yeah, we did. Al was great. As always.
Oh, cool.
He's a nice guy. He's such a good guy.
He said he misses you guys. He said, when I talked to him, he said, I always used to go on with those guys on the Rift and mention Trudy. Oh, Trudy's there too. Oh, great. You know, he was excited to talk to you guys.
Really?
Well, he needs to listen to the podcast.
Yep. Well, now we'll get him. We got him now.
Good. I hope so.
Did you think of renting a car and driving it to Cleveland?
Yes.
And?
We did. I don't feel like driving 20 hours.
Why
17 hours.
Wait.
Why would you have to fly from Cleveland?
Kathy could drive.
His car's in Cleveland.
Oh.
So why don't you, you could drive to Cleveland, then nobody misses out on all these great events.
Well, if we would have left, let's say if we would have left at 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
well,
we would have been
2.5 hours behind. Tell everyone, pack it up, we're going.
Okay. And what time are we getting to Cleveland then, Mark?
I don't know. What is that, a 20-hour drive?
You'll get 17. There at you'll get there 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. Then you drive home.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock tomorrow.
And you'll be here at you know,
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Yeah, at the latest. I guess I could do that, Mark. I'll go ahead and do that.
I mean, all for the sake of the Joe and the softball games and the dances.
I did talk another couple into it because a girl was like crying at the counter, crying.
Oh,
she had to get home. I'm like, you can drive. And she's like, how long is it? I'm like, 17 hours to Cleveland. She went and rented a car, her and her mother.
No, why was she crying? What was she going to miss?
Could have split the cost and the driving.
She just wanted to get home. I think she had work, and she just had it, I guess, with Florida. I had no idea.
Yeah, boy. But you got mixed up in her life briefly?
I did. Then a bunch of other people were asking me questions because they saw, you know, my family leaving the line. Where are you guys going? Everyone becomes friends when you're waiting in line. You start bitching to each other.
They thought you found something that they didn't know about.
They thought I found something, yeah. So I had to explain to them, look, I didn't beat you guys out or anything. We're winding up staying here for a few days.
Tom, Tampa to Cleveland is 16 hours. So you just save 16. You just save 4 hours.
There you go. 16 hours. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that.
Now you can,
for a guy that doesn't even drive from Berkeley to Royal Oak.
I've done that drive before. I've done the
you've done the Berkeley to Royal Oak.
Berkeley to Royal Oak.
I've done the Detroit to Miami drive before a couple times.
I've done it.
Well, then it's old not hat.
Fun. It's not fun.
Pack up that car.
That's okay. We're not in that bad of a rush to.
I don't want the girls to miss their dances. Enough. I don't want you to miss the softball games.
The girls are fine.
No, Florida can't
Maddie,
be bad.
Are you okay now, Maddie. Maddie's okay now. She's missing her field trip to the. River Rouge plant tomorrow.
Okay. So, thank God. So I mean, who would want to miss that?
Now, what, Tom, what are we really missing out on then? You're missing opening day.
Missing opening day. Two dances tomorrow.
No, they don't care about the dances. We just established
that. Okay, then we have the daddy-daughter dance on Saturday.
Do they care about that?
There'll be more of those.
Nah, they don't really care.
They don't care about that? Okay.
Nah, not really.
Softball games?
Two softball games on Saturday, two on Sunday.
You don't care about those?
No. Then the Joe.
Do you really care
about
Tom
is the one that's most disappointed because he's missing opening day and Joe Louis Arena closing. I think so.
I know.
It's more about you than about anybody else.
It is, pretty much. I am a little melancholy, I got to be honest.
But come on. You get
opening day will be freezing tomorrow. Yeah, that sucks.
The weather's going to be nice Saturday and Sunday, though, here. So by the time you get back.
It'll be perfect.
I heard.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's the story of Maz. What can I tell you?
Oh, boy. Well, seriously, though, what are you guys doing in Florida? Can't you do fun stuff in Florida for the next couple of days?
Yeah, we're gonna pick it up. We're going to hit the beach and maybe go out on a boat ride or whatever.
Disney World's not that far away. Go to take them to Disney for a few days.
I was thinking we're flying out of Orlando on Sunday, Monday.
Oh.
Jimmy Fallon has that new ride that they commissioned for
thing. That's right.
At Universal.
You guys got any pull at Disney? Get me a day pass for Sunday?
Huh.
That I don't know about. I'm not a big Disney person, but I might think. I got to think about that. Maybe somebody will hear this and write me in the morning, email me in the morning, and who knows.
I will, Drew.
And you'll get back to it on Tuesday.
I would not mind taking a girl for a little surprise trip to Disney. That would be nice, one day.
What if you just, you know, call Disney and say, hey, you're Tom Asway from
the Drew My Podcast.
Yeah, in Detroit. And you're here as a member of the media.
I think you might have tried that already.
No, I didn't try it yet, but I was thinking about it.
They accommodate media.
They might
media
have a press room, too, Drew. Yeah. Like, they might even have a press room.
That's true. Yeah, podcasts have more credibility now. Just tell them it's the biggest podcast in Michigan.
I certainly will.
Actually, this guy was trying to sell me on taking on national ads, said he had traveled. Well, yeah, I don't know about him traveling, but he had called podcasts all over Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, and ours is the biggest podcast he had found.
Yeah.
Nice.
Woo. Woo.
But he was trying to get
us
to sell.
Way up.
He was trying to sell us, get us to sell his national ad. So who knows? You might tell everybody that.
What was he selling?
I'm not sure.
What was he
selling? Cynical.
I decided to believe him.
Good. I don't blame you.
Yeah, he just wanted to get some national ads on real cheap. So I sent him packing, and he didn't take it back. So maybe it's true.
Hey, I heard about Jay's show and tell the other day. A little whoopee cushion.
Oh, how'd you?
Where are you hearing all this?
How'd
stuff?
You hear that?
I got people telling me.
Really? Not,
who?
I see the damn thing on Twitter and Facebook, guys. Come on now. My boy Jay is taking over Show and Tell.
No, he just bought a giant whoopee cushion and brought it in to play Show and Tell.
Yeah, someone had to fill that void.
Well, you got to play the song at least, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Oh, Show and Tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did. We played it.
So Trudy, how's your little how's the mini vacation coming?
It's okay. I mean, I'm okay. Busier than I've ever been.
I know.
Been. Yeah.
Maybe you're the good now take over the title of the busiest unemployed person in Michigan. I had that title.
I have not seen evidence of that yet, but Trudy, okay. How busy are you?
I have a lot of stuff, you know.
What are you doing to fill the space?
Well, I had a meeting with someone today.
Oh.
Ooh.
Somebody that I didn't know personally, but we had arranged to meet. And it's kind of funny because we went into Trey's Hombres and Farmington. I arrived before him.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, so I'm waiting for someone. And the guys at the front said, oh, there he is over there. And I turn around and this guy goes, hey, how you doing? I didn't really know what he looked like. So I'm like, hey, what's up? Good to see you. Sat down and he was starting to tell me about a vacation he'd planned.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden there's this woman looming over us. And she goes,
uh-oh.
Chris, and I intruded on their blind date.
Oh my God! How
oh,
weird.
That's hilarious.
Oh, he wanted you. How attractive was this chick, by the way?
She's you know, okay. I mean, she's a dark hair woman. And
she was a downgrade from Trudy. The guy was bummed.
That's an awesome story.
Oh man,
seemed
funny.
Okay.
He just
know?
Saw. He was looking for the most attractive woman in the room, and he's just going to say, "That must be her."
when are you guys going out again?
Trudy, do you watch This Is Us? Do you watch This Is Us?
I haven't seen This Is Us yet. I've been.
Okay. It's a chick show. No,
some other
I know, but the reason I asked is because there's a blind date. They met because of a failed blind date. That was the whole premise.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe so this guy know. Is my destiny, and
he
very well could be. He seemed happy to see me at first, but then it was awkward.
I am actually going to try to watch This Is Us, Maz. It's hey, on right, my girl. List. Yeah. No, I am, seriously.
Yeah.
You can't watch not, it standing you're not try that hard.
I know.
Girl, you can't watch it standing up in the kitchen. You got to go sitting in the TV room.
Okay.
Oh, that's no problem.
I know. I remember getting orders.
All right, Maz. That's what I'll do. I'll do it for you.
All right, true.
Okay.
Maz, I hope you have a good trip home. I mean, hope it all works out.
Thanks,
I'm sure it will. All right.
I'm sure I'll have more stories for you on Tuesday.
If I hear anything about Disneyland, I'll let you know.
All right, deal, man.
Okay, buddy. See you, Maz.
Bye, see you, guys.
Bye.
Adios.
See ya.
Bye.
Man, that sucks. You know, you get a good cut rate trip to Florida on Spirit. You think, this is great. I go to Florida for a couple hundred bucks each. This is probably a $1,000 trip. And then this happens.
How about the bigger pain in the ass? Why is Spirit canceling their flights to Cleveland when no other airline is?
I don't get that part. It sounds like they're using their planes to put out other fires.
Yeah.
So they're screwing anyone flying north.
Have you ever flown Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you fly them again?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I had a really miserable experience on Spirit.
Yeah, I've had a couple bad experiences. But, you know, isn't that true with all airlines?
Well, I guess
everyone will fuck you when they have to.
I guess discount, you don't have a choice because if you want to save money, you have to fly them again. But they always end up on the low rung of the customer satisfaction lists.
And when you're trying to save money, you get what you pay for. I mean, that's generally true of anything. Mm-hmm. What kills me about airlines is the best example I have of their, I mean, we all know they don't care about you.
No.
They don't. They just don't. I mean, they can get away with it because if you need a certain route and they provide it, you're going to fly in their airline.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's what else simple. Are you going
to
do?
Got to go. Yeah.
You're going to take it out on them and drive instead?
No. No.
When I flew, that time I flew to Hawaii, and we had like the, what would have been a 9-hour delay, but I got off the plane after 5 hours. Mm. I said, I'm getting off the plane. They said, you can't do that. And I said, we've been on this plane for 5 hours. It was when they were talking about the passenger's bill of rights.
Right.
And I think they even had passed some version, and I thought, I know we can get off this plane. And they said, you can't because your bags are on the plane. And I said, no. The rule is, if I get off the plane, you have to get my bags off the plane. And they said, we're not doing that. And I said, what? Yeah. I said, that's the law. That's what you have to do. You can't go with my bag and not me. And they said, no, you can't get off. And then finally they said, okay, you can get off the plane. And then, anybody else want to leave? And only two other people left. And I was like,
really?
Nobody else is going to leave besides? And I said, it's funny because somebody said, are you sure you want to leave? And I was like, yeah. Do you think they go, they're supposed to leave in an hour and a half. And I'm like, they're not going to leave in an hour and a half. And they're like, yeah, they will. And I'm like, no, they won't. Anyway, a bunch of people remembered, like, heard me say that. And when we were leaving from Hawaii, they're like, oh, we didn't leave in an hour and a half. You were right. It was a good move getting off the plane. Although I had a first class ticket, which I lost the next day. But the plane left on time. Anyway, coming home, there was another 4-hour delay.
Jeez.
And it was one of those things where I remember thinking,
Wouldn't you think if somebody's delayed 9 hours that the return leg they would make sure? I mean, if they really cared about their customers, no, they don't care.
Nah, you already
flight is a separate event.
You already screwed those people over, so.
I didn't get anything out of it. I mean, I got night with without any of my
stuff. No, I know, but screw those same people over and make sure you don't screw over different people.
Oh.
Different people.
Yeah, that's true.
Less people to complain about.
Well, you think maybe they have something run on time once in a while, but
no.
Well, yeah.
Miserable.
Well, they cancel whole flights if there aren't enough people to jam onto them, inconveniencing the people on the flight so that they can pack more bodies onto it. They have to sell every seat.
The funniest part about getting the return flight home was seeing all the people who were the same people who were on the plane, and I recognized them, and they recognized me. And so we're kind of talking and stuff, and somebody goes, "Oh, you missed so much. There was a virtual riot on the plane." And I said, "No, you're kidding. What happened?" And they said, "Well, when they promised, you know, when you left, they said we're going to leave in an hour and a half. And when that went by, and they came on and said, it looks like it's me a couple more hours. The plane was up for grabs." She goes, I taped the whole thing. And she showed me. I'm watching her on her phone. This people just going nuts on this plane, which is really fun. It's like, well, I'm kind of glad I missed that. But it was, at least I got to see it. I mean, people were going crazy.
Really?
But they all stuck it out. And they were pretty miserable. It was a terrible day. I mean, it was like 9 hours in the air. Plus a 9-hour delay in a plane.
I don't know how.
They sat in a plane for 9 hours and then flew 9 hours.
Ugh. It was a Bee Gees special last night.
I saw it with Travolta. Yeah. I got Where's so many texts. From? Everybody's like, Travolta's on CBS. Turn it on fast. And I turned it on to him introducing the enormously talented.
Wickedly
talented.
Oh, my God.
He made it all about himself, too, not about Barry Gibb.
Oh, I know. It was
about our movie. And
finally, John Travolta gets the chance to publicly thank the Bee Gees for their amazing contribution to Saturday Night Fever.
Didn't he say, at one point, he said, our album won.
Yeah, our album. Yeah. He acted like he was involved in selecting the tracks. I mean, he really did.
He's just got the picture on the cover, really.
And the other thing about that deal that that annoyed me was Ed Sheeran again.
Well,
he cannot afford. He can't afford a backup band. He's got to pre-record all the other parts before he can do any song. Nobody will play with Ed Sheeran. Apparently,
no.
Isn't that really bit getting tired?
Yeah, that's really funny.
Because the first time he did it, I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, I like that. That's neat. I like the way he did that. And then the second time, I was like, oh, he's doing this again, huh?
He's not the only person that has done that.
Maybe he is doing it to save money. It's just notoriously frugal.
You gotta wonder. Although he did have a couple backup singers. You know who I thought did a pretty good job and surprised me? Did you see Panic at the Disco doing Lonely Days?
No.
Oh, no.
Do you know that song?
Sounds interesting.
Lonely Days. Lonely Nights.
Where would I be without my
woman? Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Lonely Days. Does it sound like a Beatles song?
Yeah, it kind of does.
It strikes me as one of those McCartney like overdone songs where it's like two songs in one almost.
Yeah, it does. Who wrote it though? Was there a production? Is there a connection there?
No,
I think it does really sound like that.
I think the Bee Gees wrote it, but I mean, so many people were copying the Beatles at that point. That was 71 or 72.
True.
In fact, I know today in Rock is one of the items is all four solo Beatles had a song on the singles charts in the top 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which wasn't that uncommon in 70, 71, 72, 73.
Very deep indeed. Barry, Robin, Morris.
Oh, you mispronounced. It's Maurice.
On the Isle of Man.
He called him Morris twice.
They blended up Maurice.
I thought it was always pronounced Morris because then I heard it as Morris and then saw it written. I'm like, wait, why isn't that Maurice? Years ago in
1967, I always called him Maurice. I mean, I assume it was Maurice, but maybe it's pronounced Morris. And 40 but the family can't pronounce his fucking name?
No, they can't spell it.
I mean, doesn't that sound like M-O-R-R-I-S?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
A little movie called Saturday Night Fever.
You should be laughing.
How self-deprecating.
You should be crying. You should definitely be singing. But make no mistake, by the end of the night, you should be dancing. Yeah. Okay, we celebrate our love for the Bee Gees with some of the greatest and most gifted names in music today. And though brothers Robin and Morris are sadly gone, we are thrilled to be joined by a brother like no other, one of the most successful singer-songwriters of our times.
Who are you?
My friend, Barry Gibb.
My friend. Are they really that tight?
The first time we sang together, we were influenced by a song that we heard on the radio called Lollipop at the time, three-part harmony.
Is that Robin on the right?
Yes.
Doesn't he look like Eric Stoltz from The Mask a little bit?
Oh, yeah,
there?
There's a resemblance.
It's not terribly flattering.
On a bad day.
I don't know why that.
On a good day for Rocky. His name Rocky?
Rocky Dennis.
They would be sat in the car, the three of them, and they'd all start to sing at once without any words being spoken.
Amazing. They're cute then.
It's amazing that period, how you had to be sappy in 1962, 63, and then all of a sudden, 65, you had to be cool, and how weird it is to see these old clips.
And the manager said we could. But we wanted to lip sync.
See a lot of comedians too, like Carlin. You see him in the suit and tie doing his comedy.
One of his first bits, though, was the Hippy Dippy Weatherman.
Oh, George, yeah.
Had some.
No, his material was cool, but the
records that we had some dental issues. And
on the way to film on theater, we were running, and Morris dropped the records. Morris calls him Morris. Okay.
Morris. They broke, folks.
They broke in many pieces. We were very disappointed that we'd lost our
The genius
chance,
plan by Morris.
But we persuaded the manager to allow us to go on and sing anyway.
We were the Rattlesnakes, so we thought that was cool.
So they had to go on and sing. They couldn't mime, you see. So that was the start, really the start of them.
That's how we ended up singing on the stage that day. And we just did what we did at home.
Anybody can mime.
Lollipop, they didn't have the record. Morris broke it like a dolt and getting off the bus.
Oh, so to sing it live?
To do it live, yeah.
We missed it by talking.
We'll do it live!
It wasn't about copying the Beatles. We wanted to be the Beatles.
Oh, see?
Suddenly the whole business flip-flopped into pop groups. Where is the sun
that shone on my head? That's right, it sucks.
Okay, Supreme Court blocks execution over race bias. Here's the story. First of all, the case, there's no question over whether this crime was committed. His name is Dwayne Buck, and he shot and killed his former girlfriend while her children watched. He has zero remorse. Well, actually, you could say less than zero. He's made some very nasty comments about her. Supreme Court blocked the execution of a Texas murderer because of racially discriminatory testimony presented by his own defense team. Texas agreed several years after Buck's trial to reconsider the sentences of seven prisoners as a result of similar testimony, but they excluded Buck because the prosecution was not to blame. But one of the Supreme Court justices said that the fact that the defense made the comments or made the created the testimony did not exclude him from this group of seven who were not to be executed. Testimony said, in effect, the color of Buck's skin made him more deserving of execution. Racial testimony is secondary. The heinousness... Oh, the dissenters, Clarence Thomas, ironically, and Samuel Alito. The racial testimony was secondary to the heinousness of the petitioner's crime and his complete lack of remorse for shooting his girlfriend in the street as her children watched. This is a horrible, horrible crime worthy of a death penalty. During oral argument in October, as a clear majority of justices would not let the death sentence stand. Even Alito, former prosecutor known for being tough on crime, said, what occurred at the penalty phase of this trial is not defensible. So, because this defense, the testimony from his defense was racist in, you know, I'm not sure exactly what was said even. They don't really say in the story, but because it was presented, even though it was by the defense and it had a racial element, the execution is overturned, even though he admits killing his girlfriend in front of her kids and he has zero remorse, which is from him, too.
So why are they not putting him to death?
Because a racist comment was made defense. They don't even say.
But it was by his defense.
It was by his defense.
It's not like it was
by a defense witness, actually.
Right, a defense witness. So it's not like it was a prosecution witness.
They're suggesting that the jury would not have put him to death if they had not heard this prejudicial statement, or they could have possibly, it's possible that they might have put him to death because of this prejudicial statement. I got to figure this out. The other six. The other six were all spared the death penalty because of the prejudicial comment by the prosecution. But because this was from the defense.
So it's the same comment. Oh, I see. Okay. That makes some more sense.
It's just a stupid story.
I'm looking up the.
Oh, it's interesting.
I'm looking up the dude who made the comment back in 1995.
Literally, a lot of time.
21 years of appeals in my hands.
The doctor, he's got like reviews, and he's one star.
Wait, they have Google reviews? This.
Yeah. We have his number.
Whose number do we have?
Just call him up and say, hey, thanks for making that stupid remark.
Let's just send him a bill.
With a prejudicial statement?
Yes.
What was the statement? What did he say?
It doesn't say the statement.
However, has the witness's name?
Yes, he's a doctor. Walter.
You got his home phone number?
I got his office number, but it's in Texas.
Where is it? It's in Texas? How far behind?
Speaking of reviews, somebody sent me an email and said that on Google you can review places. And they were laughing because China or Asia was reviewed. The continent of Asia was reviewed.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there any one stars?
There it is.
There have to be.
Steve Blaharski. I haven't heard you read reviews for a while, and I came across something really funny. You can pretty much search anything in Google Maps, and most things have reviews. They're sometimes hilarious. For example, a search of Asia in Google Maps, there's currently 387 reviews for Asia. By far the best one I saw was, pretty neat. Would recommend those who like rice. It's a common ingredient in many countries here. Top seven continent for sure. 4 out of 5 stars.
Top seven continent.
I don't know. I just think that's kind of funny that you can review a whole continent.
Yeah, we should find all kinds of joy in that one. Well, yeah, what would be the most fun continent to review?
Antarctica.
But the U.S. Let's see what some people say about the U.S. who are just
on Google
visiting.
Maps?
Yeah, right. What the hell? Why not?
It might take a while. I was also reading reviews for that Inkster Motel.
Oh, why don't you do that first?
Shut down.
We know we've got some one stars over there, or at least one good one star review.
Well, it was really hard to find reviews for this hotel because it's such a dump. And what's funny is the story, I gave it to Brandon. I'm like, Brandon, I can't figure out what the name of this hotel is because the way it's written in the story is Michigan State Police were doing compliance checks that led to the closure of the Michigan Motel due to drugs and code violations. So I'm like, okay, so what's the name of the motel? And then Brandon pointed out that Michigan Motel is capitalized. It's the proper noun. That's the name of the motel. Yeah. It's the Michigan Motel in Inkster.
Whoa.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
It was just funny because we were looking for it. We were sleuthing, and it was right there on the paper itself.
There's not many reviews for it, but there's a 5-star review. You saw this place on the news, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Channel 4 had a story right at the top of the news.
So this 5-star is, this motel is all your needs. Also on the property is a store that never closes. That's the 24-hour liquor store that's there.
Yeah. So well, that's a bonus.
The other 5-star is $10 rock all day, $5 beachers, $2 handies.
$2?
For an old-fashioned?
Oh, come on. If you're spending $2 to get a hand job, can you spring for the extra $3?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't want their mouth anywhere near you.
Oh, but their hand?
I'd be less afraid of a hand than a mouth.
Oh, do you make them use sanitizer before they do it?
Oh, they probably put a condom on. You get a handy with a condom on.
Could you put a handy with a condom on?
That's probably what they do. Heard stories.
Why do you, really?
Well, if they're $2, I think I might want to wear a condom for a hand job. $2? That person's got to be skanky as hell.
No, it's going to be low quality, though.
I don't know, but they might be good with their hands. They're probably homeless, really though. They probably have arthritis.
Yeah, they got stress balls all day long.
Then there's the one.
Probably got calluses like crazy.
Oh, God.
In 2013, Ja Rule was released from prison after spending 2 years for gun and tax evasion charges. He didn't pay taxes from 2004 to 2008. A period during which he owed $1.2 million in tax.
Well, at least he's doing a lot of good these days, you know, with the
fire
festival.
I know, what a debacle.
That might have been the best story from our vacation festival.
We have not talked about that. And that was, I couldn't get enough of that story. I had to see every video I could find. What in the hell was Ja Rule and is it Andrew McFarlane? Or Andrew
No, not Andrew.
Is it Billy?
Billy McFarlane.
Yeah.
Billy McFarlane. That's my mom's maiden name.
Billy?
McFarlane. These guys apparently just thought, oh, we can do it all ourselves. The whole story is so ridiculous. First of all, they said, you know, they were asked, why are you doing this in Exuma instead of, you know, the Bahamas proper? And the story goes, they both learned to fly together. I don't know if these we took flying lessons. Let's take flying lessons together.
Fake.
And they were flying to the Bahamas, and they ran out of gas and landed on Exuma, which is, you know, sounds pretty stupid, running out of gas on a trip like that. But anyway, that's what they said happened. And they noticed the lush beauty of this uninhabited island. It's not totally uninhabited, but a lot of it is. And so this part of the island where they decided to have the fire festival had no infrastructure whatsoever.
Zero.
None. And they didn't even bother with infrastructure until about 6 weeks before this festival, which is ridiculous.
And by that time, they had blown almost their whole budget on paying the models and the marketing for it. Whoops.
I guess. I don't know why they didn't have more money. I guess they sold a lot of tickets. You know, and this is another Kendall Jenner deal.
Yeah.
Where they apparently worked out some deal with Kendall Jenner and Hailey Baldwin and all these girls, these
Bella,
supermodels. Bella Hadid, yeah, with these incredible Instagram followings of, you know, 10 million, 30. I think Kylie Jenner's like 33 million. And they said that using these influencers sold all these tickets. In fact, they said Kylie Jenner, she had some code on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, use this code and get discounts on your tickets, which were, of course, is supposed to be this VIP concert experience with gourmet food and these incredible tents and mattresses. And
when all the pictures came out, was there one picture that made you laugh the hardest?
What, the meal?
The meal.
Yeah, the two pieces of bread with a piece of cheese.
Cheese on in a styrofoam box with like four pieces of lettuce acting as a salad. It's like, hi, we're the salad in this meal.
That was really funny. Because they made such a big deal about the gourmet food. And
this, Vendor backed out on us.
Our chef, Steven Starr, this special gourmet superstar chef, will be handling all the meals.
It's like the saddest picture of a meal I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it went all over, too. That thing got, everybody saw that picture.
I want to start sending that out, like on Twitter, going, settling up for a nice meal. You know, people take pictures of their food.
Oh, yeah.
Just put that one out every time.
That's ridiculous.
Having our Sunday night dinner with the family. Yeah, look at this. Woo.
Wait till you see what I made for dinner tonight. Boom. That piece of shit.
Why did they think they were going to get away with this? What were these guys thinking about?
I don't
First
know.
Of
they
all.
Forgot to spend, they forgot to order the toilets. And so in the showers, in the luxury showers, they forgot to do it.
They forgot?
Yeah, and then they had blown all their budget. And the guy's like, that's $1 million for me to bring all those toilets and showers.
What, so they're just going to have the concert with no toilets?
No, so that's why they were looking for cheaper porta-johns.
Oh.
Than these high level, you know, because some of the packages were, you know.
$12,000. Yeah. People paid for tickets.
Yeah.
And the tents were FEMA tents. What the? Come on. You can't sell something like that. No, and
a total joke.
The part that just wrecks me, though, is here's Kendall Jenner once again. I'll go do this because somebody's paying me lots of money to say it.
Yep.
And
yep.
Does she reveal that it's a promotional announcement? No, she doesn't, which is against the law, first
That's
of all.
A big issue.
And second of all, for some reason, all these. She's actually an influencer. When they were saying, look at all the influencers we have, Kendall, I'm thinking, really? People do what Kendall Jenner tells them to do? That scares the shit out of me. This imbecile from the Pepsi commercial, the Kardashian brat.
Yeah.
She's like 20.
Her half-sister had a sex tape years ago, so she's famous.
Wow. Unbelievable. So anyway, does she goes to the island also and shoots a video with all these other influencers where they're slithering around the beach in their bikinis and jumping in the water and having pillow fights in the tents and all whatever crazy people do at VIP festivals. But it looks like so much fun. And they're on the back of jet skis. Yeah, jet skis. Doing all that stuff. And oh, my God, what a great festival. And also inviting people to buy VIP tickets where they will be at parties on these fabulous yachts.
Yeah.
If you pay the VIP money. I know. So fake. I didn't see any yachts in any picture.
I think they were
there.
Shocked when it was like, oh, my God, someone actually bought a VIP package. What are we going to do now?
I don't know. I don't know what these guys were thinking about. I really don't. I'm amazed they didn't cancel it. Rather, they let people go down there. That was crazy. And they, you see them dropping people's luggage on the beach?
Yeah, and then you have to search. They had to search through it to find their own luggage.
In the dark.
Yeah.
The airport was not nearly capable of handling this kind of capacity. So they sent these giant trucks down to the beach, and they just threw the bags off the back of the truck. People were going, which one's mine?
You know, it's funny.
No lights. It's dark out.
The people that paid and started bitching about it online were getting shit thrown their way, which I think is kind of crap, but like, oh, that's what you get, idiots. Like, it's their fault. They were sold a bill of goods. But because they have
the money.
Well,
John Rule's name is on it, and if you believe in that guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why are you getting ragged on, even if you have the money to go?
I don't know. Why, you know, that's really BS. That's bogus. Yeah. Why? Just because they spend a lot of money?
Yeah.
In other words, oh, you have a lot of money, so fuck you. Yeah. You deserve anything that happens to you, because you're rich.
You got it. Here's a story on Fire Festival.
What is that? What is this resentment of people who are successful? It just seems to be so ever-present.
People are just assholes. So Billy McFarland thought
of... But success used to be a good thing. I mean, I think people tended to envy successful people they were looked up to.
There's a lot of jealousy. Billy McFarland thought of the idea for Fire Festival in October of 2016 and announced the festival on Instagram a month later. So how much planning do you think went on?
Not much.
Being hatched and then promoting. And he spent millions on models, private jets, and yachts to promote what would be his first ever large-scale event. He spent $250,000 on a single Instagram post from Kendall Jenner.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's how much she got paid.
$250,000. Oh, my God.
For one Instagram post.
I think her tax return needs a viewing.
Yeah. And then he paid hundreds of thousands more on lesser-named influencers, none of whom were paid less than $20,000. So that's the least amount one of the influencers got.
Here's what just blows my mind. Okay, first of all, days before the festival, Blink-182 pulls out.
Yeah.
They know.
Yep.
They said they don't have a stage yet. Well, they didn't have a stage. They did not have a stage.
They had other production things, too, I guess, that were lacking. Just, I think, the sound. The speakers, and the whole production setup.
Apparently somebody, Blink-182, having some evidence of this, sent someone down there, and they said, this is a disaster. You have to pull out of this. And they did. It was just a day before people got there, though, I think, when that happened. And the celebrity chef pulled out also, because he didn't have the requisite whatever materials he needed to do better than a styrofoam box with a couple pieces of bread.
I'm dying. Who is the guy that went
who
down,
took over?
Went down to Kroger.
What a job they did.
Bought a bunch of loaves of bread and a bunch of Kraft singles.
It was wheat bread.
And some lettuce and put it together.
I know, that was really funny.
You know, there's some idiot
the fact that they even
that.
Tried to do that, to pull that off. Hey, look at styrofoam containers with dinner. What are you bitching about? What are you talking about? Sweet bread.
Just picture this guy. Somebody scour all the videos to find some guy buying a bunch of loaves of bread and cheese. I don't know what this is.
That was ridiculous.
Only one of the... influencers, but,
yes,
but labeled it that it was a promotion that they were being paid for, and that's that Emily Ratajkowski.
Okay, yeah, she's in a heap of shit too.
She's fine though, legally. Everybody else is going to be.
Oh yeah. Oh, they have big problems. No, they're going to be named on the lawsuit. I think they already are named on the lawsuit. But Kendall Jenner, this is what kills me about her. First of all, she just did this stupid Pepsi thing. If this doesn't fuck up the Kardashian name, because there was all this talk online about the Kardashian brand could be in trouble. I'm like, the Kardashian brand? The brand for what? What is the brand?
Well, there was something.
They look good on TV?
There was something, too, about Kim's ass and being airbrushed, you know, and like the untouched photos leaked. So they're saying our brand is being ruined.
Nothing's going to take that stupid brand down because it's built on stupidity.
There was a story that Courtney changed. She's changed stylists.
Oh!
She's a stylist. What, she can't dress herself?
What does she
do? She's not even that fucking hot.
It's like the least known of all of them.
Her
husband's more famous.
Is Khloe Kardashian that?
Oh, Khloe. I heard Courtney. So.
No, Khloe. Khloe.
Oh, Khloe.
I don't know. I think she looks good, but she's a stylist. Oh,
Khloe. Chloe has new stylist.
Anyway, my point about Kendall was, here all these people know what's going on. I mean, a lot of people knew. It wasn't a secret. There were, in terms of social media, it was out there that there's real trouble brewing in the Bahamas. Does Kendall Jenner decide to, as an influencer who got all these people to buy tickets, does she maybe send out a little message? You know what? I don't know if I'd go down to the Bahamas. It sounds like there might be trouble. You know, you might want to skip this one, or you might want to try and get your money back, or maybe even figure something out. No, she just deletes her posts.
Does she return the money then?
I highly doubt it. Are you kidding me? No.
That's probably
no.
Why she didn't say anything.
I'm sure she got paid by Pepsi too. But how nauseating that this imbecile 20-year-old is getting $250,000 to send out an Instagram post about a concert.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being one of those people that hates rich people.
Fire.
Sorry.
Fire Festival employees said planning for the event took on the feel of an extended spring break frat party. Billy McFarland and the members of his team would fly down every other weekend for lavish vacations on nearby islands, but only male employees and models were allowed to go. Billy would take all the boys down there, be boys only, this employee said. They'd talk about fucking bitches and hoes in conference meetings.
Woo!
The employee said McFarland would often urinate in the office with the door open for employees to see. It's a boys' club, the employee said. They laugh about it. Another former contractor called the event low-key sexist and racist. So now that's sexist and racist? No, it's just a disaster.
Well,
every time they had a story on it, I was just laughing.
It sounded to me like they could have had a much bigger disaster if more people had made it. If that thing had actually taken place, can you imagine what a cluster bleep?
Some of the flights, they just didn't even go.
Nope. People got turned around in Miami. I was surprised. I saw some of the video of people on planes who were told, if you are going to the Fire Festival, you should turn around because it's not going to happen. It's a debacle, blah, blah. And the people seemed pretty orderly about it. I would have expected people to be really pissed.
Off.
Yeah, but they weren't. They didn't seem that mad. And then this guy was on Good Morning America. He's actually still down there on the island. He stayed the whole weekend for whatever reason.
Why not?
Maybe had a flight Monday.
You got all those tents to yourself.
So he says,
and those great meals.
They announced that they're having it in 2018.
Oh,
and that
okay.
All of you are in free.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go next year. It wasn't a bad experience. It was kind of an adventure.
Sounds like he had a great time.
He sounded adventure. Like he did. He looked all happy.
Here's a picture of the kitchen.
Oh, that those.
Someone posted a picture of the Fire Festival kitchen.
Let me see.
It's a giant tent and a couple tables and a bunch of styrofoam boxes. Look at that luxury kitchen.
Lovely.
What a dump.
Did you see the concierge?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
With no one there.
Yeah, there's a concierge sign. Table. There's no one there. It's just like, there's not even a desk. There's nothing. There's a roof.
Oh, man, what a great story.
It's really an abortion. And actually, you know what? Kendall Jenner wasn't the only one who removed their posts. And this kind of surprised me, too. People were reaching out to the Kendall Jenners and the Haley Bowen saying, you got to take your post down for the Fire Festival. It's a disaster. They're in other words, they're trying to help them get out of trouble, I guess. I don't know. Why else would you be telling them that?
I like Ja Rule's statement. Not my fault.
Yeah, but I'm taking responsibility.
But it's not my fault. What are you taking responsibility for?